Tov. So, Likrat Yom Ha'atzmaut, we decided last Zman that this week we would talk about sort of the methodological issues and then take a case study on how the notion, how the existence of a Jewish polity, and more important than the existence of a Jewish polity, but the existence of a Jewish polity and a significant group of Talmidei Chachamim and the community that follows them that believes there's religious value to that political body, how that affects halacha. Right, this is, you know, a lot of the issues that affect religious Zionist psak, so to speak, we've seen before, but not in the application. Right, the existence of a political state brings together a lot of the methodological issues that we've talked about before. So, what I want to start with is just an overview. It's not my overview. This is Aviad HaKohen's, for people who want to hear him. My guess he's going to talk about this tonight. Right, he's the third speaker in the second panel tonight on what Jewish state today, something like that. So, I assume this was an article he wrote in the second Orthodox Forum about religious Zionism. There was one written like 15 years ago, and then post-disengagement, he wrote there was another one to re-examine Zionism post-disengagement. So he has an article there called Religious Zionist Halacha, Is It a Reality or Was It a Dream? Where he outlines some of the issues that typify what it means for something to be religious Zionist psak. So, I copied down the summary of his article, the outline of his article. So let's just go through it quickly. And then what we're going to do is we're going to watch it play out in the example of the early, very early Shailas, of setting up police forces in Israel, obviously the halakhic problem being on Shabbos. So, the first thing is very simple. Right? The areas of occupation of religious Zionist psak are very different. A normal classic psak deals with individuals, communities, right? For the first time in thousands of years, psak has to deal with the laws of the state. Second point is that it has to deal in a very, very sort of in a particularly poignant way with the effect of modernity on halacha, right? And I mean that technologically, I mean that sociologically, I mean that in every possible sense. And the problem of electricity in halacha is obviously a very serious halachic problem that has to be dealt with, has to be understood, but it becomes much more important to understand electricity and understand how modern, you know, water processing works when you have to set up a state and, you know, there's no, let's say, Shabbos going around, not necessarily, because it's in a rove Jewish state, right? That is a completely different reality that you're dealing with. The third thing is that halacha also has political ends, right? We're not just talking about what is Asr on Shabbos, we're talking about what is Asr on Shabbos and should be implemented in, should there be, and if there are, what should they look like? Shabbos laws, right? The definition of who is a Jew, conversion. Right? Conversion in Israel is not just a religious question, it's also a political question because of law of return, right? And even though law of return is not halachic, every so often, right, you have overlap. Not every so often. You have overlap a lot. You know, and I don't just mean now. I mean, one of the famous cases early was the Brother Daniel case, where you had a Jew who apostatized, and then he wanted to return on the law of return. How do you relate to that? Do you look at it purely biologically? Do you look at it sort of ideologically? That's the first issue, is that religious Zionist psak suddenly is taking on a totally new set of questions, right? Questions of the state, global, universal questions of how to relate to modernity, and the interface between halacha and politics. A second group of issues that he identifies are within their methodology and their sources of decision-making. Now again, different poskim have different things, but he just said things that tend to identify some poskim. So the first one is Koach De'Atera Adif, is that religious Zionist poskim tend to be more inclined to Kula. Why? For a very simple reason.
Easier.
What?
Easier to implement.
Yeah, meaning when you're dealing on a global level, there's more pressure, Right? If you remember, when we talk about psikat alacha b'sharat chak, the higher the pressure, right, the higher the push to find out a kula, the more likely you're going to try to find it. When you're dealing with a global issue, and you're dealing with a state, and the stakes are really high, it's really, really important to not impose extra chumras. Again, that's not fundamentally different than normal psak, but it takes on a different magnitude. The second issue that he identifies, that religious Zionist psak tends to look towards state-oriented, unifying approaches to halacha, right? Halacha can, in theory, be very atomized, and we can recognize the ability of every Rav and every person and every Bezdin and every community to follow their own halacha. But if you believe in a united Jewish nation as a religious value, then you're going to look towards unifying approaches, right? If you remember from the Rebbe Avadya Yemeyun, right? One of the things Rebbe Avadya had to respond to was this sort of intense strive to unity led to the attempt in the early period of the state to force everyone under Ashkenazi hegemony, right? Because you wanted one psak, you wanted a psak achid, you wanted a nusach achid. Now, the next two things, this really depends on who you are. Some religious Zionist postgame go farther and don't just, you know, sort of broaden the scope of what they're thinking about and have to think more globally. They go back to Eretz Yisrael sources because they are driven by, let's say, Rav Kook's philosophy of Torah Eretz Yisrael. So they make greater usage of the Yerushalmi. You'll find this, for example, in Rav Goren. You'll find it to an extreme expression in Machon Shiloh, if anyone knows what that is. If not, look up their website. I looked it up recently. The head of Machon Shiloh was the one who said that no one has to keep kidney out. So you look at his website, you will see... What? Well, no, but this guy said a few years ago, whatever his name is, and Ayin Shum in the website, it is a very intense Ayin Shum. Fine. And some postgame, and again, you'll see this in Rogoran also, will use modern research tools that not so much of a chiddush, but they also use outside literature, right? You'll find this again in Rogoran Psak, where he'll pull on, you know, Josephus, right? The story of Masada becomes a factor in Psak for Rogoran. Okay. The third, and this is just not about sort of content, but about style, is that religious Zionist psak, and this is true also of not just psak, there are lamdos also, tends to be written not in Lishna Derabanan, but in modern Hebrew, haraya, the difference between, in lamdos, Torah haral, you know, the shure haral, and, you know, most of what's still coming out of the yeshivish world. You know, you look at any of the journals, from Kol Torah, from Panovich, from whatever, it's written in modern Hebrew, which obviously has philosophical reasons for that. Also, it's practical reasons for that. Also, it tends to be organized. Just reality, right? It tends to be organized because it tends... If you think about it, right? What is the... Has anyone ever read Hapardes? The journal Hapardes? Hapardes is like an early American journal of halacha. Not early, but like 57, you know, 70 years ago, 80 years ago. It's written like Lundish articles, just like Psak, right? If you've ever read Truman, right? Truman is, everything is written like an academic article, not quite academic, but is written very, very organized, and even though at some level of dealing with the same issues, right, they're not formulated as winding rabbinic discourses, they're formulated as articles. The fourth issue is the media of communicating conclusions. Right? Since religious Zionist psak tends to believe in the importance of the whole state, so they come up with ways of getting their psak out. Lidugma. In America, probably the most prominent halachic journal at this point is the RJJ journal. Which, well, I don't know, has a somewhat decent readership amongst... What? Yeah, a decent readership amongst the people in YU who they give the free copies of their journals to when they can't sell. You know, that was what they did a few years ago, like last year. They had thousands of copies, and they just lined it up and just gave it out to all of YU. What? Oh, yeah, exactly. but I don't know how wide of readership they have in general. Lu Mazzo, right? should SMS, right, has a very, very, very wide readership.
There's one about Gush last week.
Last week? I remember last year when there was, 2 years ago, when there was one of, are you allowed to date a Gush guy? This was funny.
This one was,
the answer was yes, just in case you're wondering.
Was it asked by a guy?
Okay.
There's an obvious rift between us and the Gushnik came nowadays. Are we still allowed to have contact with them?
No.
Is it kind of like the Haredim and that's either me? And I was like, who's us?
Okay. Anyways. Okay. And the fifth category of things that he identifies are the substance of the rulings is that one, they deal with religious Zionist issues, right? Meaning they actively go out of their way to deal with issues of the state. Two is that they try to deal with actually the establishment, existence, activity of the state of Israel, right? They don't, like, there is a three volume, a very large volumes on the, what is it, like the 70th anniversary of the chief rabbinate, which is like, you know, 1,500 pages on the nature of the chief rabbinate, the history of the chief rabbinate, the halachic import of the chief rabbinate, right? Religious Zionists tend to be a little bit obsessed with actually just taking the institutions of the state and understanding them. The third is the is that often the religious Zionism affects how people deal with traditional areas of halacha. You know, once you're dealing with, let's say, Hilchos Shabbos for army purposes, that also starts to affect how you think about regular Hilchos Shabbos. Okay, so this is just, one second, so this is just sort of his broad outline, that religious Zionism tends to deal with questions of the state, it tends to deal with the interface between halacha and politics, both in terms of what it studies, what it deals with, and the ends that it's aimed at. Because it's trying to have a unifying approach and trying to deal with the nation, it often looks for kulos to make halacha easier. It's organized differently in modern Hebrew. It's organized, period. And it attempts to communicate to the whole nation part of this notion of recognizing the entirety of the state, right? And you see how this all emerges from sort of the ideology of religious Zionism, which sees the religious state, a unified state, which is even a unified state, which is not yet a fully religious state, as valuable, intrinsically valuable as it is, right? Whatever we talk about what it should be, but even as it is, it's important to deal with the state at hand. Yeah, Judah.
Are there any assumptions here about similarities to American modern orthodoxy and methodology there? Or
I don't know how much. Meaning, here he was focusing really in religious Zionism. Obviously, there's some overlap, but it really is totally, meaning, it is different in the sense that America is still functioning as a minority within a majority culture, and it's, you know, denominations mean a lot more in America because there is nothing to unify us except for the name Jew, but there's no forced unification de facto above denominations. So you have questions of aimed at everyone, but really what you mean is you have an open policy and hope that somebody else walks in your door, but right, you're not lemaisa dealing with it. Okay. Fine, so these are just some broad issues. And I wanted to show you one example, and then we'll talk about a few more at the end, which was the question of setting up a police force on Shabbos, right? So this question was posed, obviously, in the 50s to the chief rabbi, right? 50s? Wait, tough shouldn't you bet. What's this year?
52.
What? Okay, that's what I thought. It was 52, 53 was this was going on.
Did they not have a police force the 5 years?
What?
Did they not have a police force the previous 5 years?
They no. Did, but we'll get to that point in a moment. That will become important. It's not a, like, we will. Okay, so this was posed to the chief rabbi, and it became a big diyun. There's a back and forth, and we'll see it from Yisraeli, the Tzitzel Yezer. I didn't bring the truth of the Tzitzel Yezer. You can look there. The Tzitzel Yezer has a long arichos about whether we can solve all the problems by riding bikes on Shabbos instead of police cars, and there's a... It's an interesting tshuva, but it's, you know, what I think pachot merkazi.
What do you mean by bikes?
Like a bike.
Like a bicycle?
Yes.
I'm supposed to see as, like, defective problems.
What?
That doesn't seem so effective.
Okay, they'll have the whatever. Segues. Maybe you'll get the Segues. Machon Somet, whatever. You know, Machon Somet segue. Yeah, fine, okay. Fine. So it was bounced around between Rav Herzog, Rav Tzitzel Eliezer, Rav Shaul Yisraeli. There's, you know, basically an entire book on the Pikuach Nefesh that come up from Rav Unterman, who is also the chief rabbi. Now, before we even read the tshuva, why is this problem sort of a very classic religious Zionist problem? Right? What is it about this question that's classically, a classic religious Zionist problem, right?
It addresses the needs of a state.
First, it addresses the needs of a state, right? Now, what else does it do, right?
Security.
What?
Security.
Right, security, right? This is like, it deals not with the state, it deals with security, right? This is right up front of things that you have to deal with when you're dealing with halacha. Now, what else does it assume by the fact that the question is asked? Well, yes, that you're allowed to have it.
The authority to cause something about it.
That, in theory, they want halacha to affect the state, right? What else?
We'll be involved with it.
Yeah, right, there's going to be involvement in two directions, which means one is that the halacha is going to have some place in the state, but also there are going to be people involved in the police forces who are going to care, right? Meaning, it assumes that there are going to be religious people in the police at some point for which this matters. Right, it's not a foregone conclusion that people who don't care about halacha are going to be running the state, and we're going to do our own thing, right? Which is obviously not the case if you want to be a sect, a denomination, even within Israel, right? If you are perfectly comfortable, like in America, you don't have that many Orthodox Jews as policemen, and if they do, they don't work on Shabbos, right? It's just that easy, right? And there are people in Israel, who are not religious Zionists, who don't recognize the value of the state, who are perfectly comfortable, right, delegating it to the people who don't care about Shabbos. Why do we have to ask the question? Right, it assumes, or expects, or hopes that there will be somebody listening, right, on the other side, right? Now, the obvious halakhic question it has to deal with, the fundamental one, is Shabbos. Now, what category, obviously, is it going to examine, right? How is it going to get around some of the Shabbos problems? Pikuach Nefesh. Now, what's the problem with applying Pikuach Nefesh in police cases? And, the institution of a police force?
Not every time someone's running around the
car. Right, you don't know there's going to be a case that's going to come up. Even if it does come up, it might just be a petty case. Right? You don't know it's going to be Pikuach Nefesh. So this is a very classic question. In fact, it is one of the most classic questions that is brought up in pretty much every series I've seen on the topics of religious Zionism and halacha. Okay. Now, one more thing before we actually start reading the content. If you remember, one of the things that Aviata Cohen notes that religious Zionist psak tends to do is be organized differently. Look at what you have right at the beginning of the tshuva. Right, but a table of contents. Right, has anyone ever read a tshuva by Moshe? Okay, or for that matter, Rav Avadia. Right. Rav Avadia deals with a lot of religious and questions. But it's a classic tshuva sefer. Right here, Rav Herzog is writing a tshuva. The first thing he does is this is probably influenced by the fact that he was exposed to the world of academia because he had a PhD. Right, and he was. What? I don't know what the direct corollary between Tchelet and bullet points is, but that indicates a different tendency, which is the ability, the willingness to deal with modern research. Okay, so let's look at the question now. Al darkei shmira bitachon apnimi hamishtara b'medina b'shabbos b'shabbat v'yom tov. Right, setting up police forces on Shabbos. So, amatzav bitachon apnimi b'aretz mitzurah yidei yishuyot musmechet hapratim. These are the details I got to deal with. Aleph, ma'aseh ha'pesha v'cholam ha'chamurim kigon itpartziyot v'shod mitrabim b'aretz b'midah rabah gam mikrei ha'retzach rabu b'ofen mavhil. First thing, there is a lot of crime, violent crime, murder. This is a fact. Point one. Point two, kom mitzav ha'pesha mizuyanim v'shamshim most, he says all, but whatever. Most, if not all, cases of these violent crimes involve weapons. Right? That only makes it worse. Gimel, kol mirivakala, halulali lagachal tshvichudarim variga mamash. Even petty fights often lead to murder. Right? That's just the reality in 1950s Israel, right? There's tensions are high, right? A minor fist fight turns into murder, you know, whatever. Okay.
It just happened recently outside in Ranana. There was like some fight on
the court. Apparently, still happens. You know, I mean, this is not foreign. You know, this happens in parts of New York too. You know, I lived in the Heights for 5 years. You know,
they just had a giant drug bust.
What?
Then they just recently had.
I'm shocked. Okay, Dalit Yom Shabbat. Point four is, by the way, the crime tends to be more common on Shabbos because people are off. Right? This is a problem, right? People are on vacation, so obviously you are involved in grand larceny and murder. This is the logical conclusion of vacation. Hey, hatarovet mihirash al mishtarah monad harbei shvichut damim u'mikrei retzach. Shockingly enough, if the police get involved, it tends to stop murder. Through using a phone to tell you that there's a crime, right, you can get the people who are doing routine like drive arounds in the community to get there quickly. So using a phone is important to minimize crime. Vav, yesh erech rav b'shvil hamanan anashim l'mishpat v'yudam barichat report. There's great value to being after you arrest someone to
write it down
to be able to convict them, to have a court case, right, to go through all that. We call that tviyat etzba'ot, and to what's tviyat etzba'ot? Fingerprints. You'll have to translate if we don't understand the words. I think it's the first time we have an Israeli in this. It's like very exciting. Okay. Miyad imidrach hashuda maaseh. Right. Immediately, you want to take down all the information. Because if you don't, then what happens? You can't bring it to court. V'chisun. Tviyat etzba'ot is not just fingerprinting like this. It's like, going to a crime. No, it's going to like a crime scene and taking fingerprints. Should have made that clear. Yeah. And that's why, by the way, if you don't do it immediately, you're going to have problems. Right? You can hold him in jail and do this tomorrow, but you can't. Right? And being able to, you know, punish people affects how many crimes there are. And some things, again, which do not seem serious, become serious. Minimizing the number of routine
patrols.
Thank you. I was looking for that word. Patrols will increase crime. So these are the facts on the table. Is that we need to set, right, crime is rampant, especially on Shabbos, and therefore we need to have patrols, we need to be able to arrest people, we need to be able to try people. And now we run into the problem of Shabbos. So what do we do? Now again, as you go along, I want you just to keep in mind, think about what he's doing here, right? He's dealing very much with the reality of a state, right? We are responsible, right? The shift between dealing with Shabbos questions of Pikuach Nefesh, where they're attacking us, what can we do? And, right, we are both the police and the criminals. Right? Everyone here is Jewish, right? And therefore we are responsible, and we have to deal with the whole case. Right? The difference in that is completely different. The entire perspective that you have when you're asking and answering the question is completely different. Okay, so now let's look at how he deals with the question. So he says, okay, Lor kol anan lechadu v'arakit al shomrei mishmar v'itachon apanimi v'aret le'naik mitzad alcha. So because of this importance, I agreed to deal with the question. Ulam, mechevan shikvim atzav advarim kayom, ein amatzad amunim alkein kach notim lefi shalit chashim aron alcha. However, since practically most of the police forces don't care what alcha says, v'shem kivar chokah shen chayei v'kol apolim bazeh le'nog lipia. Therefore, my psak is not going to be binding. Ein l'diyun anitan ofi alcha l'maseh. It's not yet practical. Alcha v'ari yoter b'geder maseh u'matan shal alcha. It's just theoretical. Shiratam ha'asir ha'meduyeket tikba b'rat tzor Hashem achrei iyun v'tiatzud nezavim kshanim yiyu matim lekach. Right? But the practicalities of it will be worked out when it is practical. So now, right, what do we already see here? Right? It's a willingness to deal with these questions. Why? Not because the state already runs alpi halacha, but because there's a desire that that will someday be relevant. And even though it's not practical yet, since he has a responsibility towards the state, and he sees in the state religious value, and hopes that one day it will have religious character to it, or more religious character to it, he's willing to go through the halachic question, even though it's not practical. Right? Okay. So now he actually deals with the question. Now we'll move faster, okay? Because I don't want to get bogged down. It's a very complicated tshuva. But let's go through it. Or parts of it. I cut it down. This is like one-fifth of the tshuva or something like that. And there are two tshuvas, and I'll give you one. Okay, one. So, hashimush b'telephone. Two questions, right? Phone, car. First thing that's clear is, it is asur if there's no sakanas nefashos. Ulam. Now, right? Let us... Now, what we're going to start seeing is not just the content, but I want you to see, right, now what we're going to start doing is redefining halacha in communal, in national terms. Right? Ulam, musag, sakanat nefashot, midrachei, mirkat shelanu. The notion of pikuach nefesh, of sakanat nefashos, expands in our circumstances. Vava'er sichati, let me explain. Al pi arachat ha-matzav she-kibalnu yotzei, she-riv ritzini ben Hashem alul le-estayim b'nefashot, im lo t'tarev, mishtara b'mukdam, v'avdo yudo l'akol. If the police don't get involved in crime, it's going to be bad. Ve'il mivarov v'tziyo v'yoter v'shav anu await, and they happen on Shabbos, Allah ki derech shamur chazal ba'irvin, okay, there's a case in Erevin that implies the same thing. Therefore, obviously, if there's actually something going on, you can call and they can answer the phone. And if sometimes they call you with something that's not sakanafashot, that's not the problem of the police, that's the problem of the person who calls. So what's the first move he has to do? Right? What's the first thing that changes when you're dealing with a national case? And the national definition of sakanas nefashos? Right? Why does it widen? Because? What?
Both sides.
Well, first of all, there's a dual responsibility, and also, you have to, the question of suffix totally changes. I mean, is it possible that, you know, I would get a phone call on Shabbos that would say, you are the only person in the world who can, you know, whatever, give a bone marrow donation, and we need it right now, and if we don't have it in the next 2 hours, such and such person is going to die. It's possible. Does that matter me answering the phone on Shabbos? No, because what are the chances? Right? But police in a nation, right, what are the chances that the phone call they're getting is pikuach nefesh? It's very high. Right? Purely practically, right, the fact you're dealing with a national institution that is devoted to security concerns means that statistically, the chances that something is pikuach nefesh changes drastically. Can someone just fill up more water from Shkoyach? Okay. Umechevan shanu tofsim devar b'safek nevashot mutar b'meilag alam zol makom mirud achi efsharit. And if that's the case, the second you get a call, so not only can you answer the phone, you can go as fast as you can. Achas sheilan yishel, but you have to ask. Hin kolz amur b'alichal makom maset. But that only gets me there. But what doesn't it do? V'chazar mishamilanu. It doesn't get us back. Right? Zoshema Tomar, but maybe you'll tell me Latir Lachzor Lamarkaz that he should be able to go back to the base, to the Shemi Kabul Markaz Yidut Al Ok Taton Mirvo, because maybe you'll get another call. Harize Lazay Takana, let's say Kesher Al Khutib Machonit. That's easy, just set up a radio. Ukshiet Sorech Yodiulahem Lamakom Shem Nim Taim Vem Yudzumisham, and they'll contact you, right? And you'll go from there. Vim Navola Tir Bekhlein Maher Yoter Nanyan. If you're going to say that we just want to speed up the process, but say Yeshma Odlistape Kovish Mikrim Kaila, and you're going to get a rove, right? The fact that I could set up a situation that you have to be get there as fast as physically possible. That's not clear, right? Because, right, yes, the statistics go up in terms of that first phone call, but it's not entirely clear that the next call I'm going to get is going to be significantly farther from where I am now than it is from the base, such that that will cause pikuach numbers. That's not obvious. That I'm not willing to deal with. So now, but the next question you have to deal with is Chazara Mekom Arib. Can I come back? Okay, so I get it. You can go. Obviously, you can go. You can pick up the phone and you can go to the case, but can I come back? So now we compare it to a case in Erevin about the hetter for soldiers who went out to fight to return on Shabbos. So he said, okay. Anyone who goes out to save can come back. They ask the Gemara, is it even? So the Gemara says that only the Tchom Amarav, it means they can go back even with their weapons, even their plays. But Rashi said that's only the Tchom. They just don't have to throw away their weapons. That the Gemara says, but isn't there another price that says you can go all the way back? And the Gemara ends up distinguishing and says, if you win the war, right? So then it's not so dangerous for you to go, right? So you won. So now, okay, so hang out. You'll go back later. If you lost, right? Go. Right, go home. Go as far as you need. Fine. And it sounds like the maskana rather is that you can only go 2,000 amos. The question is weapons. Fine. Ella. But the Rambam, Sharabinu Agadol, the Rambam Lokach Umefaresh. That's not how he explained the case. Sharihu Omer, how does he understand this? Ukshatil Achayem, Utarlahem, Lachrobichle Zayin, Umkoman, Bishabar Kadesh, Lolach Shila, and Latid Lavo. He says you're allowed to go back. So that, in the future, people will still go out to war to protect others. Right, where does the Rambam get this notion from? Didn't people do the Bikias Blitz or something? Come on. From Kiddush HaChodesh, right? From the Edom of Kiddush HaChodesh. Right, that really you should only get Alpayim Amal Choruach. Sorry, he shouldn't be allowed to move at all. We give him Alpayim Amal Choruach. Right, when you punish the people who did good by forcing them to stay put after they're finished doing their good, right, you're going to discourage people from doing their in the future. So the Rambam says that's why we allow soldiers to go back, even if it's lav dafka pikuach nefesh for them to go back. V'hainu, so must be that he understood the Gemara the way I said it before. Which was that you can go back with your weapons all the way. Vein chiluk bein nitzchli Yisrael as Akum and as Atzman. Doesn't matter who wins. And he is mechadish the reason why. Shem kenat to nachshin lasad lavo. Vayinu shem yichur la aniach nishkam. Because otherwise, in the future, they won't want to go, or they won't want to bring their weapons, and that's not a good thing. Now, Mekoro Shel Tam Zeberam, where does he get this from? So, if you just skip down to the bolded part, where did he get it from? Right, I won't read the paragraph inside, but he got it from the Heter for the Edim. For Kiddush HaChodesh to walk 2,000 amos when they get there. Next paragraph. It seems to me that this depends on Hutra or Dechuya. Because even though you don't know you're going to be the witnesses, there could be other witnesses still, because we don't want to discourage you in the future, we always let the Edim come on Shabbos, which means that it's Hutra. And therefore he thinks that on Shabbos, same thing. Again, skipping to the bolded. So now, the we have to ask, how does this principle apply to police forces. So he says, so look, it's very nice, but it doesn't help us here. Right? Okay, the Brisa, the Gemara doesn't tell us what the reason is. So we let's assume the Rambam, but still, ach ena nidorim shavim. The cases are not the same. Why? She'ena melo baim elo betokaf mishartam vehimuchrochem lalechet basher yelechu mashen kein sham shuvudavim avim latzei latzil. And now we start to see another difference. What's the big difference between the case of the soldiers going out to protect the other Jews and the police? Right? What did I just read? She'elo enam ba'em ela betokef mishartam ve'em muchachem lalechet basher yilecho. Masha'en ken sham shem v'arbim minavim latzei latzil. What's the big difference?
Police are already ready to go out.
More than that. Muchachem. What is muchachem? They have to. It's their job. I mean, what's the difference between, right, a formal state and a volunteer army, right, that gets together to protect their brothers? The question of formality is that the police is their job. They don't have a choice, right? Once you are police, right? Once you're a policeman, they tell you where to go, right? Therefore, if you told them your job is to, right? It's not crazy. You go to the Heights, you will see that there are cars that have to sit there. There are police cars that just sit there for hours, right? Doing nothing because it's important that they just sit there, right? If you told the police just sit there, and if you get a call, then move, they will do it, right? That's It's not obvious, right, when you're dealing with a formalized system that we're worrying the same way of Machshil and Lasad Lavo, because they're going to do their job. Bet. Second point. Second point is, this volunteer army, if you don't let them come back with their weapons, they're going to be too scared to go. Mashen Khan, Shein Lam Lefachid, Shem Nani Tu Yudim La Rog Zed Zed. Aval Ein Zeme Adome Klal Yotzim Li Lachem and Nochrem Yotzim Lashmen Ayudim. What's the big difference? The nature of the crimes. There we're dealing with an attacking pogrom. What are we dealing with here? Internal Jewish crime. So yes, you have to go stop it, but you don't expect a band of Jewish criminals, you know, to wage war on a community, right? Because you're sitting there in the police car. Right? It's a different nature of crime when you're talking about an attacking pogrom and when you're talking about internal Jewish politics and internal Jewish crime. So therefore, it's obvious that obviously you can go, but you can't come back. Next point. According to the people in charge of security, certain types of criminals, like low-level criminals, get scared off by patrols. Right? People who are planning a crime for years are not scared by a random patrol. But your average petty bandit, or your average, you know, whatever, robber in the street who might kill somebody if he happens to get caught, gets scared if there's a patrol and he knows that 30 seconds later the police can come and see him. That's just it. So it prevents fights and shvichos damim. Let's say it's true. Let's assume it. Aval hein itachin lasot lasham zesirim regal olachol yeder bafanem regilim. I said, okay, so let's see. Maybe you could do walking or bicycle patrols. Vamnam, and we still have to deal with problems there. Mikol makom ain't zeh d'oraita. At least that's not d'oraita. V'hainu, afil tomar shemina achreach lavor derech sheyev sher shelo yasu b'chareitzim, v'nshazek kvar begeder psik reisha v'dar shenim mitkavein, aval komunim ain't zeh l'choresh l'achrayad v'in asher midrabanan, and even if, right, sometimes, you know, you'll walk somewhere where you should, it'll be klachrayad, it won't be so bad, v'in over she and you don't really know that all these things are gonna happen. It's possible, but you don't know when. And And now what does he say? I'm willing to expand Pikuach Nefesh, but Pikuach Nefesh still has to mean something. Right? Just because it's a state, you have to balance two things. On the one hand, when you're dealing with a lot of people, purely statistically, for something to be a chash pikuach nefesh is much easier. But mitzad sheni, pikuach nefesh has to mean something, right? And you can't say, well, svek, I said something's going to happen, that I'm definitely going to need to be in a car, in a patrol, at exactly this moment, and no other police will really get there. No, if you could do it with a bike, or you could walk around, and someone else will be in the car waiting in the station, so fine, right? There's a tension. On the one hand, we have to recognize the expansion of Pikuach Nefesh. On the other hand, you have to recognize that Shabbos can't disappear because you're dealing with the state. Another problem you're dealing with, what if the crime already happened? And now they just want, you know, they captured him. Now they want you to put him in jail. This is not a normal question of Atzal's Nefashos. Elion shall be Rumishpati. It's a question of setting up a legal system, of figuring out the law, of how to punish him. So that locally is not going to be Docha Shabbos. Ella sheish kan chishuv acher. But something else you have to take into account. Vehu shimas mach zelon atil v'sharal and tzol chabeza etzah avel gaz tidravan agnevot davka biyom shabbat kodesh. But if you don't let it, right? Mitzad achad, it's not pikuach nefesh now. Mitzad sheni, if you can never arrest someone on Shabbos, crime's going to go up on Shabbos, right? But again, so there we have to let them do something, but maybe on a bike. But again, I don't know what to do. Because, yes, it will be Pikuach Nefesh, but it's Pikuach Nefesh in the future. It sort of makes sense. And we know Safik Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos, but it's not a current Safik Pikuach Nefesh. So, not clear to me. But on the other side, okay. And now, so the Makkah positive of this issue, and this is in Gimel, is, so now, right, what has he's been struggling with the whole time is, how do you define Pikuach Nefesh when you're dealing with a state? Gidrei Kshash Pikuach Nefesh. So he says, Uve ilosh ardu meyotzim lasor ganav shikvar tafsu an Hashem v'yesh la'avi erto lamas arshin lokin yitchamek miyada. In a case where someone's going to escape, kan ein the often yashir pikuach nefesh is not directly pikuach nefesh. Elshkem chash kamur, right? But like he said before, but there is a chash. So now skip to the bolded part. So what are you going to say? Now we have to define pikuach nefesh. Reishit mneisha einkam beiru lamadai shistam ganavei meratzchem. Why is there a problem? Because I don't know that most thieves are murderers. Shit. Sheish men ladem miyak shemargim ladem bnei adam. Because there's some people who run away as soon as people come. Vishenid ho v'chol ater hukam nupnei shemlonatir. And if the only reason we're monitoring is because otherwise it'll cause to theft, most of the police don't care about the halacha. And they're going to act as police. So even if I were to answer this, practically, it won't cause more gnevot. So, as I mentioned, one of the problems that you have to deal with is to what extent do you take into account the fact that you're not yet at the halachic ideal? Rav Herzog is perfectly willing to say, I don't have to close this case yet. I'm willing to deal with it because I looked forward to the ideal. But I'm not don't need a paskin in a theoretical world where everyone follows halacha because we're not there yet. Right? So he's willing to hide from that. But we'll see that Rav Shaul Israeli is not. We'll get to that in a minute. And he says, Ubechal kasher l'achlid al eter mitam chashash b'kuach nevesh. And it's hard to define pikuach nefesh. So they vada yesh is the gvul gam chash pikuach nefesh. There's got to be some limit. La manu mikan the chorash imav sharut shel sakana yechat mine elef ainz afil bechal safik sakana. And if something is 1 in 1,000, maybe it's not even considered a safik. Vashelan ishelan rei kaim alon shein olchan pikuach nefesh acharov. But we paskin that we don't go by rov by pikuach nefesh. Vim kain kama b'mei yatzachos sakana ad shinok pikuach nefesh dochav shabbat. So There has to be some level where something's not a sakana, but where is that level? Where are we going to define it? He said the classic cases of Safek Pikuach Nefesh is who did the building fall? Who did it fall on? Who's underneath? Is he dead? Will we be able to save him? But like Pachoru there, we know all the factors. They're in front of us. There are a few side questions. Fine. But obviously, if someone has a cold, which you have strep, it could, in theory, if I didn't treat it today, lead to what is it, rheumatic fever or whatever it is. Right? Fine. But like, that doesn't mean that we rush everyone who has strep straight to the hospital. It could happen. But like, there obviously is some gvul. But I don't know. But I still don't know what the definition is. Sorry, gam savik bukhnevish al chashabes. Me'olam lo shamanu gam alachalash. She savik bukhnevish. She davka mechs la mechs. And the savik is obviously not 50-50. Bar kochach afilu imarov. Einenu sakana. Mikol makom chalun alad shabanu. Ata tzeve tenli midav. Katzeve tzarchin bazeh. So he said the problem here is I don't know what the how we should define bukhnevish, but I don't have to make the final decision now because it's not practical. Okay? Then the last section you can read yourself is the question of Ktivat report, is writing the report, which again, he comes up with the Rabbanans, right with your left hand, da 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 da. Sikum advarim, last paragraph, Nisya mechoniyo, l'makom shepir tzamariva ben Hashem sheyesh lachosh zeh, yisayim baretzach muteret. To drive, when you think there's actually going to be murder, you can do it. Oto davar muteret nisya lafer mizimad genavim, you can even do it to prevent theft. Achayim mechavat shesnei dvarim eileh heim lefim matavasar achshav, yeidachon mechadash medvam lepav, and lonesh tu b'nei advarim letovah. But since the question of whether regular robbery leads to pikuach nefesh is a practical one, so we every so often we're going to have to re-examine the question. But you can't come back until after Shabbos. Three, you shouldn't, for patrols, drive around. You can imprison people. We didn't get into that. Hey, telephone. You can call people. And things you need to write down, do it, but do it with your left hand, etc. And now signed, right? Yitzhak, Isaac, Halevi, Herzog, Rosh, Rabbanim, Li Israel.
You shouldn't drive around patrols?
He thinks not. Unless you really have to. But you go around in patrols, you walk, you whatever. Okay. So.
It makes it just really hard for anyone who's a police officer.
For sure. But, yeah.
I don't see how he's really using Zionism or modern state to change. I don't know, the parameters of
halakha. Okay, so let's talk about what he did here, right? So certain things are clear why this is like a typical religious Zionist, right, tshuva. One is what he's dealing with, right? He's dealing with national security, right? That's clear, yeah? Good. Point two is he's dealing with the tension of an ideal state in his mind, which is halakhic, and the reality, and he's willing to be mityaches to the current reality, which is not. Right, that's the choice he makes. Right, that he deals with the question, but he doesn't feel forced to close everything up because right he recognizes the tension between the ideal and the current practical reality, and he doesn't need to rely on it. But he's at least willing to deal with the reality. But he's more practical in the sense, right? He doesn't force psak of the ideal onto the current situation, but he's aware of both of those issues. Right. The third thing that he really does. Right, and this is where getting to your question is he does right deal with the very basic question of Guach Nefesh, which is he makes the claim that Bikuach Nefesh, for purely statistical reasons, in a national setting is changed. And what you have to deal with on a national level is the tension between, on the one hand, recognizing that purely statistically more things are safik pikuach nefesh, and therefore motzer on Shabbos, and they are on a personal level. But mitzad sheni, if I really, really, really took that to its logical extreme, Shabbos would disappear. Right. So what he tries to do is balance those two factors, a recognition of an expanded notion of pikuach nefesh with the counter pressure, which is, if you take that to its logical extreme, Shabbos disappears in a national setting. Right. So I think in those senses, this is a classic right tshuva that tries to deal with all the problems with some of the methodologies of religious Zionist postum, so to speak. Right? Now, obviously here, right, what, as you see, he compares very clearly between the definition of Pekulach Nefesh he's going to give here that he would give for a Suffolk disease. Right? He doesn't come to a conclusion, but he recognizes that him being forced to re-examine what it means for something to be Suffolk Pekulach Nefesh affects how he's going to understand the notion of Suffolk Pekulach Nefesh in general. Right? He opens up the possibility that his dealing with state questions will have implications in non-state areas. He just doesn't flesh it out because he doesn't know. Right? Okay. Now, so that was Rav Herzog's tshuva. Yisraeli responded to him this is published in Amud HaYemini. I'm going to come back to Rav Yisraeli in a moment. Just to get this out of the way, I want to turn two pages, right, to Hashavat V'Sharab Bayot V'Sharnan, right, a totally different aspect of the religious Zionist, sort of psak is not just sort of these theoretical aspects, but is their implementation, right? Is that one part of the whole equation is to understand the theoretical issues. How do you define things on a national level? The other thing you have to do is what? Is try to
implement
them by
making laws?
Well, not even laws. By coming up with, by foreseeing problems, right? Right, the number one way to prevent some of these problems is to foresee them and prevent them. Right. So, in conjunction with this chayla being put in front of Rav Herzog and Yisraeli and Tzitzili Ezer, it was also given to Machon Tzomet. Right, because, and if you think about what Machon Tzomet does, and this is true both in the technology they do and in Tchumen, which is right. What does Tchumen stand for? It's Torah. No, what does the book stand? It stands for Torah Chevra Umedina, right? The journal is meant to deal with problems practically. So, in addition to the theoretical question, there was an attempt to try to minimize the issues. So here, I just gave you part of the article of what was given to them, and you'll still see here. He describes in here how he was given the mandate by the government to look into these issues. And he says, right, Matarota Mechkar, what's the point of it? It's one, Hatzagat Mechlol Pilon Mishra B'Sulam Adifiyot, right? First is to figure out how necessary everything is in the police forces. And if you look at the original, he does comparative studies. He goes to America where they did comparative studies of what types of patrols actually minimize crime in what type of places, right? Then he looks for pitronot masiyim, technologiyim, right? The next thing is, okay, I understand that we have to deal with national pikuach nefesh, but that doesn't mean we can't come up with ways of getting around it. And if you remember when we visited Machon Tzomet, right, if you need to use a searchlight, so don't use an incandescent bulb, come up with one which is LED, which is probably only Darabanan, right? If you need to write something down, right, use a disappearing ink and rewrite it after Shabbos, right? This is what they do. They try to, right? Machon Tzomet is the sort of, are the technocrats who try to come up with patentim, right? Ways of circumventing the problems. And that's what he writes about here. Chikir al-Khati Makid. The third goal here is to write a halachic thing. Chiyatzbi al-Gishal Khatid Ekroni, Lagramusak Bukhanevek, Nezik Ziburi, Hefsed Meruba. Deal with the questions of pikuach nefesh, right, national damage, etc. And then he says, "Darkei Avodah." What does he do? So he said, "What is he going to do?" Arichat Seir Makiv should be amaguvana pilot shel pemidat emishtara. Right. First thing is to go through all the different things the police do. The second one is a comparative study. Right. Then go through different types of things. Then again, different ways they do it. Interviews of what happens b'shetach. Figuring out the facts in different places, then suggest different ways to turn things from Doraisan to Darabanan through different technologies. I don't want to read through it, but I just want to show you another part of the religious Zionist project. It's not just these theoretical questions, but is recognizing that if you're going to make a state, then you've got to anticipate what's going to happen and try to prevent problems from happening or minimizing them, right? I don't have to talk too much about Machon Tzomet, but you see how that's sort of another part of this equation. Okay? That I leave you to read by yourself. Fine. Now let's go back to Rishol Yisraeli. So Rishol Yisraeli critiques Rav Herzog on several points. And here you'll see sort of a different take on religious on how religious Zionism affects Pesach. So here already he has the same question. Right? In terms of going out, right, in terms of the same question, right? So second paragraph. I have to remember which claim we're going on. On Herzog's claim that I don't need to paskin because the police are not religious yet, right? Or I mean, there are not that many religious people in the police forces yet. That has no room in halacha. Shem Kain hayab is maninu tzarich lashtano gam ikra adin shel heter lachzor. Because then your whole argument falls away. The whole notion of nitzei machshin lasid lavo falls away. Because then you'll just say, look, for most people, it's not machshin lasid lavo because they're machal shabbos anyways. What are you talking about, right? We don't. That's not a halacha category that most people are not from. Because then halacha falls apart. You've got to deal with halacha as if they did. Right. Right. And he said, why don't I take this into account? Because non-religious Jews are also Jews. And we have to paskin for them too. And the halacha is also for them. Just because they are willing to eat pig, maybe they think it's mutter. Maybe it's actually mutter. Okay, so they don't care about Shabbos. But if it's actually Pikuach Nevesh, maybe it's mutter. Well, you have to judge the whole nation. Right, second point. Many of the people become not from because they think that modern political life can't exist with religion. So if you're going to give in to that and say, I don't have to paskin because most people aren't religious, right? Right? You can't, right, use a Jewish Shabbos guy, right? It's just going to collapse, right? And you can't be required to have a Shabbos guy. Now, here, I'll note parenthetically that Rav Kook argued on Rav Israeli, and Rav Kook said, no, part of recognizing the existence of a Jewish polity is recognizing there will always be non-Jews. So it's not anathema to claim that certain things are always going to have to be done by non-Jews because, right, but here you see a question of, right, what does it mean to envision an ideal halachic state? For Rabbi Israeli, as we're seeing, he wants to deal with the ideal now, but his ideal is a totally Jewish state. Right, Rav Kook also wants to deal with the ideal, but he thinks the ideal includes non-Jews, so it could actually be in the ideal there would be Shabbos Goyim. But we'll leave that aside. He said, if we give in, that'd be bad, but if we show them that no halacha can deal with these problems, right, it's a great kiruv. Besides, right, maybe I'll be more successful than the other person. If you're not going to paskin, right, then religious people aren't going to become police officers. That's what's happening now, right? But that might be bad because maybe there are religious people who should be involved in that part of the state. And dafka here, we need shomrei Torah to be police. Right? Because religious people specifically understand the value of human life. Right? This is the type of argument you hear a lot about Hester soldiers, right? We need them to be soldiers because their ideological drive makes them better soldiers, or here makes them better policemen, right? The same, right? The same as the reason that we don't let goyim do our work for pikuach nefesh and Shabbos. We do it ourselves because we will do it better, right? And right, and then he continues, right? Even in his own life, he's not chas. Kal vachomer in our lives, he's not chas. Etc. 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 Okay. Sof davar. Right. Skip to the last paragraph in the section. Sof davar nirali kadavar barur shadiyun mikunazu eino tarik lavi cheshbon et misparshim rei haTorah misharak hayom hazeh. Do not take it into account the current number of. I'll get it later. Whatever. The current number of religious Jews. Ela anu chayavim ladun ki ilu kulam uchanim lishmo bekol Torah lashmi alahem et alachab neish ilu kam bofen shaveh. We have to deal with the question right now, as in the ideal. Okay, so right off the bat, right, you see a different version of religious Zionist halacha, right? Rav Israeli says, no, religious Zionist, what does it mean to be a religious Zionist paskening? It means to paskin as if the ideal already happened. It means to paskin in such a way that shows that right now, halacha and a modern state can coexist. It means that religious Jews should be part of every part of the state. Right? It means that we should infuse the state with people who are ideologically committed to religious Zionism. And for him, it also means that we should come up with ways of creating halachic state that don't require non-Jews. Right? That one, I'll bracket out. Because like I said, that Rav Kook thinks is not true, and they clearly agree with Rav Kook, right? That already, I think, is Jeremy Dye. But the other four, right, there's a koach to them, whether or not you agree with them. Okay, the next paragraph, he deals with the question of pikuach nefesh. And he says, if you look at the second paragraph here, he says, "Lefioni is daiti yesh ladun kan lo micha kol mikre mikre lechud el yisus kara kol mine hamikrim alim litrachish ragu vizeg what alcha gamem mikre misuyam." He said he makes a programmatic statement. How do you define pikuach nefesh? Right in this context, right? Not in the normal ways. Right, pikuach nefesh in the state, because of the statistic, changes its nature. I don't have to get into the lumdus with all of you, but you probably are familiar with the lumdus, right? A tzibur is not just a lot more people, it's right a different chefza, right? And if you look in Rav Rosen's article, you'll see this as well, where he says, where he gets into this, that maybe nezek rabim is like pikuach nefesh, and if you look here at the things that he bolds, these are not my bolding, these are his, here, just look at the like three paragraphs down. About after like the line that goes across. Because of the way tzibur works, everything is machshirei pikuach nefesh. Right? For this Shabbos, for next Shabbos, where we totally, it's not just the statistics change, but the nature of the discussion changes when you're dealing with a tzibur. She'ein lanu ludun et amikre mibchinatina beodeded, elu bibchinat kol mikrim adomim lo shegam lahem anu kovim ederech et nagud al yidei kviyur klape mikre ze. Because we don't look at the individual case, right? Pikuach nefesh and a tzibur completely changes. Okay. So, let's summarize because we're... What? 5 minutes. Okay, so let me just summarize what we have. Okay, so we saw here two very different models, but you see who's struggling with the same issues, right? What they share is the belief that religious Zionist halacha means that you have to deal with the question of the state, that you have to at least attempt to deal with an ideal situation, an ideal vision where religious people are integrated into all parts of society. You have to recognize the importance of kula and the effect of a tzibur on halacha. But they also have very strong differences. Because of Herzog, his religious Zionism, or the way he does it, causes him to understand the difference between ideal and the current practical reality. Israeli is not wired that way. Right? Religious Zionist halacha for him means we paskin the ideal as if it is now. Rav Herzog thinks that even as a religious Zionist, he's allowed to recognize the de facto existence of non-religious Jews. Rav Israeli thinks you can't. Rav Israeli thinks that to paskin for a nation means to paskin as if everyone were keeping halacha. Rav Herzog thinks religious Zionist halacha means that he has to try to make things work as best he can, practically, right? Because he wants a state to work religiously. Rav Israeli thinks that part of religious Zionist halacha is to show ideologically that halacha and the state are compatible at a derech of kiruv, to show people that halacha exists in the modern world, right? Rav Herzog is willing to recognize that Tzibur has an effect on Pikuach Nefesh statistically. Rav Yisraeli goes farther, and you have to read through it to see the exact thing, but he comes with a new category of Machshirei Pikuach Nefesh, that when you're dealing with a Tzibur, we just are mitachis to it completely differently. And the phrase that's thrown around a lot is Nezik Derabim is Pikuach Nefesh. Right? It could be not just that robbery is going to lead to Pikuach Nefesh, but a society filled with robbery is itself Pikuach Nefesh when you're dealing with a Tzibur. And this becomes, by the way, a big discussion in postgame on, I can't get into what exactly that means, but the example that comes up a lot in Halakha on this issue is, or I'll just leave you with the question, is why is society allowed to, this is the way Rav Tendler puts the question in his article on Beis Yitzchak, is why is society allowed to build museums when there are people who are dying? Right? Obviously, in an individual case, you couldn't. But intuitively, you know that society is allowed to worry about things that are not directly Pikuach Nefesh. I mean, you're allowed to create a normal society, right? And you don't have to, right, expand Pikuach Nefesh so much to the point where you have to use all your resources on direct Pikuach Nefesh. Right? What justifies that seems to be a recognition that the quality of life of a Tzibur is Pikuach Nefesh, right? Intrinsically, or overrides Pikuach Nefesh, right? Which seems to be the direction that Rav Yisraeli is going and other posts can explicitly go in. So, and then, of course, the third element of this is the practical limitations that possibly for a state means seeing the crumbs are going to come up in advance and, you know, trying to circumvent as many as possible, you know, without sacrificing too much. So what I just wanted to show, again, is, you know, if you go back to the summary of the things that Avi Adekoyen identifies, you see here how these early poskim are dealing with religious Zionism as a reality and how they poskim, but you also see different ideologies of how religious Zionism, what they think it means and how it affects their psak in very radical ways. Okay, in the last, how much time do I have? Like 1 minute?
Yeah.
Okay, so in the last 1 minute, at the end I put different some resources. This was, again, only one example. So just other things you can look at. Like I said, I didn't deal with a lot of the practical little things even here, like the question of the fingerprinting. You can look at all the articles. There's Kalman Newman has done work on this. I didn't have time to look at it. I heard a seminar from him, but whatever. I'll just note that if you want to look at these things, the work of the chief rabbis shows different forms of this. The current work of Eretz Chemda tries to deal with this. Rav Yisraeli's Shuvot deal with a lot of it. A lot of what he does also is trying to retroactively justify what the state did. That we didn't talk about at all, but that's another element of religious Zionist psak, which we didn't get a chance to get into, and I have a lot more problems with ideologically, so I don't want to get into it now. Obviously, we talked a little bit about Machon Somet. Six, the question of the importance of speaking to the whole nation is what generated Shud SMS, all the internet psakim that you see. If you want, Adam Mintz has a shir on Rav Shurlo's internet psakim and how they reflect his understanding of religious Zionism. There are many organizations that are trying to deal with a lot of these questions of the place of non-religious Jews in society, the place of halacha in society, of division of of religion and state, like Soer, Beit Hillel, Itim. You can look at any of their websites and you'll see how they're struggling with a lot of these questions. Obviously, all the things about Hilchot Tzava deal with these questions in a very real way. Udi Schwartz has a series they just finished on Keshet, dealing with Hilchot Tzava, if you want to listen to it, which is very, very good, which highlights these questions of how halacha affects a state. And the last point is that the Gavison-Maidan covenant, which is an attempt to bridge some of the problems between religious people and secular people, and come up with a compromise that can be true to the Jewish nature of the state, but not overbearing, and is a compromise in the sense Ruth Gavison said it, in the sense that neither side is happy, but you know it's a compromise. Is also a reflection of this, and the reason I put that is because Motzei Shabbos, both Ruth Gavinson and Ruth Maidan will be talking about it, and that's another opportunity to think about these issues.